We'll ask for your prayers again this afternoon. Lord, bless His Word. I'm thankful that He lives, as the song says. I'm thankful that we have every evidence of it. We can know, we can be confident and assured that He lives, which makes Him unlike any other God in the world. Of all the gods that this world sets up and follows and endeavors to serve, our God lives. He is alive. The song says, you ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. And so I'm an eyewitness to it. I can see the evidence of it. He walks with me and He talks with me and communes with me. And I'm thankful that we can have that experience and that relationship with Him. Would like, by the Lord's help, to pick up where we left off this morning. Talked about a pure language. Talked about the Lord. Whenever He created Adam and Eve and He made them upright, He made a perfect plan and design, and sin entered in to the picture, into the equation, and it turned the whole picture around, and it separated man from God, from their Creator, and that communion that one time they had with God, they no longer could have in the same way that Adam and Eve had in walking with Him and communing with Him in the cool of the evening. But yet still, as we looked at how throughout the history of the children of Israel, God had a people that He wanted to reveal Himself unto, that He wanted to work among, that He wanted to show Himself strong on the behalf of. And so time and time again, He revealed a glimpse of who He was, revealed a glimpse of the great power and the might that He had. And they were able to see it. They were able to see the mountain tremble, and they were able to see the earth open up and swallow up those that rose up in rebellion and defiance against God. They were able to see all these mighty works of God's hand. How many times and places have I thought I'd have loved to have been there to see that? Oh, I wish I could have seen the Lord's hand working, to see that water start to part. And I wish I could have seen the walls start tumbling down. But that's the God that we serve. That's the great and mighty God that's still God today, that's lost none of His power and His ability. And we see throughout all of His dealings and His workings with mankind a desire to show Himself, a desire to be a close and a near and a personal God. But there was a hindrance. Sin was in the way. The flesh and carnality, which was a veil that was upon the eyes and the hearts of men and women, they weren't able to steadfastly behold the things of God. There was a filter there. They were able to see pieces of it and able to perceive a little bit of it. They were able to get glimpses of God talking to them. The Lord sent prophets, and He'd prophesy to the people, and they were to go unto the people not to speak of their own mind, not to speak of their own thoughts or ideas, but what the word of the Lord was. They were a messenger. This is what the Lord has spoken. It's what the Lord's desire, His burden for you is, His thoughts towards you. They're good and not of evil, to give you an expected end. You're going to be in captivity for a while, but God's got a purpose in it. He's got a plan for it. He's wanting to communicate to you through this. And so they went out, and they weren't always received. They weren't always welcome. Was it Jeremiah, I believe, in one place that was almost taken and killed? Because they didn't want to hear what the message was. They didn't want to hear that language. There is a distance there between them and the place that God wanted them to be. But the Lord, yet still in His faithfulness, time and time again, would send messengers and prophets to them to take His word, His judgments, His desire, and His will for mankind, that they might be able to have an understanding. The Lord never put us into this life with a plan to say, here you go, you're on your own, good luck, we'll see if you can make it. But He's wanted to be the author and the finisher of our faith. Here's the way, but I'm not leaving you alone. I'm going to walk with you, and I'm going to show you the way, and I'll be very near to you. I'd like to look at Hebrews, the 8th chapter. So we read our text this morning there in Zephaniah, that the Lord desired and his dealings and his judgment with the nation, with the wickedness that was all about them at that time. The Bible says that judgment starts at the house of God. And so he dealt with God's people. Judgment falls upon you, and that's where we're starting. That's right here in the temple, right here in Jerusalem. We're going to start with those that have known the law, those that have had access to this. And they were facing the judgment of God and yet the opportunity. I don't want to cut you off. I don't want to have to draw a line. But there comes a point where I can't deal with you anymore, where I can't communicate with you anymore, that you're so hardened and you're so distanced from me. The only thing left to do is to cut you off. But the Lord gave the mercy of his plea. I want to turn you back. I want to call after you again. You don't have to stay there. You don't have to stay in a long-distance relationship. You don't have to cut me off from your day-to-day life. I want to be a God to you, and I want you to be a people unto me. Won't you come back? Isn't the Lord full of mercy? Full of mercy every time the children of Israel would humble themselves, and here they come back again. It seemed like it would have been easy to say, I've seen this before. You've been here before. But instead he opened his arms and he received them because it's his desire. It's his will to be able to have a people, and he wants us still today to be his people in the earth, a people that he can commune with. But he speaks a different language than the language of the world. It's a language that the world doesn't understand. Job said in one place that God speaks once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. God speaks, and he's trying to deal, and through the events sometimes of people's life, that God's trying to get their attention. He's trying to wake them up. He's trying to point them, your way is not working. Don't you realize the heartache in your life is brought about by the sin and the decisions you've made? Don't you see? Don't you realize? Trying in every way he can to reveal himself. And yet, so many times, the song says, yet is the voice still unheeded, though it is Jesus who calls. Remember a time that Belteshazzar and the princes that were with him were partying it up and living the high life, so to speak. No recollection, no memory of God other than maybe some things that they had heard passed down to them from Nebuchadnezzar. But they had forsaken God and his ways. And they were there, and they, as they were partying and getting drunk, they said, hey, why don't you bring the things that were taken up into captivity of the Israelites? Go get the sacred vessels that are for their gods, and let's bring it in. And they defiled it before God in open defiance of his face. Folks, there's only so far that you can push God. There's only so far that you can defy into our face. It's a fearful thing when we look at our world today to say, Lord, how long? Lord, there came a time whenever you said, it repents me that I've made man, and it's time to bring judgment on the world by a flood. He said it won't happen that way again. But the next time it'll be destroyed by fire. There came a time whenever he said with Sodom and Gomorrah, it's enough. I've had enough. It's time for judgment now. You've had your opportunity. You've had the day of salvation. Folks, is it not coming on our world? How long can you stand in defiance of God and say the life that you've given is meaningless? The things that you've called sacred, we're going to defile right to your face. We're going to call good evil and evil good. Folks, there's consequences that come with those kind of things. There's a distance for one that grows wider and wider between the Creator and the created. The one that he wants to be able to show, this is the right way. This is who I am. I want you to have an understanding of my nature, of my, can we say, personality, of the way that I am and my thoughts towards you. I want you to know that. But the distance, the gap is growing wider and wider, speaking in general terms of our world today. And yet, God still has a people. And the Lord is still calling and saying, whosoever will, whosoever wants to, you're welcome to come on in from the door of an orphanage to the house of a king. I'll trade your rags for riches. I'll take you those that were unwanted and unloved, and I'll bring you in, and you'll be a son to me and a daughter to me, and I'll love you with everlasting love. And people yet refuse it? People yet today say, I don't want it. I want something else. The devil's still at his old tricks, still telling lie after lie, still taking people down a road that goes down and down further and further, that leads farther and farther away from the God that created and that loves them. So they, as they were there with so little thought of God, they got a wake-up call in the form of a hand that came down and began writing on the wall in letters that they didn't understand. But you know what they did understand? There's something to fear here. We've pushed something too far here. I may not know this God that I'm up against, but this is something that made all the boldness go out of Belteshazzar, and it says his knees began to knock together, began to tremble, and became like water. It's something I realize now, the God that I'm up against. What does it say? I see the handwriting on the wall, but I don't know what it means. But there was a man. There was a man that still had contact with God. There was a man that has still been talking to God, Daniel, that hadn't lost his integrity with God. He knew what the voice of God was. He knew the language. He was able to come as they called him in. He was able to look at that and say, I know exactly what that means. I know that language. I know the language that God is trying to speak to you in. It's a foreign language to you and you don't receive it. Jesus said, oh, you Pharisees, you're able to look at the sky and you're able to say, here's what it'll be tomorrow. Can't you see the signs of the times? Can't you look around and realize the things that are befalling this nation? And yet you still sleep on in your sins and your carelessness. When will you ever wake up? When will you ever stop and read the handwriting on the wall? But so many people, they see it. They tremble. Many times they realize there's something wrong with what's going on with our nation. Why is everything in such a turmoil and such violence and our children growing up the way they do? And I don't have the answers. I can't figure it out. The Lord wants a people today that are still in contact with God, that can say, I've been talking to the Lord. I know the Lord's not pleased. And I know what the handwriting on the wall is. The sons of Issachar, the scripture says, were men that had understanding of the times and what Israel ought to do in their day. May the Lord help us to be as the sons of Issachar, to be able to know the handwriting that's on the wall, to be able to stand in the gap for a lost and dying world, for our loved ones and for those that don't know God, to be able to stand in the gap and intercede on their behalf and say, God, have mercy on them, Lord. Isn't that what Abram did for the city of Sodom and Gomorrah? Lord, would you spare it? Lord, would you have mercy on him? And he was able to deal with them, and God changed his mind from what we see. Okay, we'll take fewer and fewer. If you find so many righteous, I'll spare it. If we don't, as the people of God, folks, who is going to reach out and touch the throne of grace? Who is going to be able to reach out and make a difference in heaven? To be able to reach out in their prayers to reach the throne of God. Scripture says in one place, unto a rebellious people, that the earth beneath you is like unto iron, and the sky above is like unto brass. You know what I'm saying? Your efforts are going nowhere. You're trying to sow and you can't get any increase. You're trying and you're trying and it's not bringing any fruit. In other words, it's not working for you. Your life isn't bringing forth the fruit and the perfection that God wants in your life. And a sky of brass. Your prayers are going nowhere. You know, I appreciate the kind gesture of people out in the world that'll say when they know you lost a loved one or you're hurting, we're praying for you. I appreciate that. I appreciate the expression of kindness. I do. But sometimes I have to think, don't pray for me. Pray for yourself. You got to start there. I want your prayers to be able to go through to heaven. And folks, I'm not going to be able to have that communion with the Lord.
that close, oh, the Lord will hear a plea of repentance. The Lord will many times in His mercy reach out and show His kindness and His love. By great compassion He draws the lost unto Him. I know that. But folks, to be able to have the place where I can talk with the Lord, where He'll talk with me, I can't get it any other way. I can't get it my own way. I can't get it by living my life the way I want to live, and then I'll give lip service to. I'm praying. Well, we're really praying, and I'm going to go and do those things that are displeasing to God. Folks, I want my prayers to make a difference. I want to be able to stand in the gap on behalf of those that are lost and in trouble. Whenever the king was troubled and asleep, I don't know what these things mean. There's a dream that troubles me, and something's wrong, and I don't know what it is. Daniel was able to say, there is a God in heaven. Let me go talk to Him. You remember that? Daniel didn't have the answers. Daniel didn't, oh, I know exactly what that is. Oh, king, why didn't you call me up front first? But he said, there is a God in heaven. Folks, I don't always have the answers. There are situations that people find themselves in, and I say, oh, God, have mercy. And my heart goes out to Him, and I say, I don't know how to fix the problems that you're in. I don't know all the answers, but there is a God in heaven. And He's been working on me. And let me tell you what He's done for me, and I know He's got the answer for you. Daniel said, let me go talk to Him. Let me go seek the Lord tonight. Peradventure He'll reveal the dream unto me. And He did. To a man of God that had this walk, that understood God's language, that was able to understand the message that the Lord was trying to get across. Where would Nebuchadnezzar have been had Daniel not been in that place? To be able to say, here's what the vision is. Here's what God is about to bring to pass. What about our lives? Can it make a difference for those that are around us? For those that may not understand this language, for me to be able to speak to the Lord, to be in a place where they can say, would you pray for me? I'm in trouble. I need prayer. To be able to have the confidence to know, I believe that your prayers will get through. I believe that you have contact with the Lord. Oh, folks, how important it is. All right, so now to Hebrews. Hebrews, the 8th chapter. Hebrews 8 and 8 says, now let's start a little higher, 7. I don't know where to start. Verse 7 says, for if that first covenant had been faultless, the Old Testament, the Old Law, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with him, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. He was trying to bring them to a place. He was trying to give a schoolmaster to bring them unto Christ, to bring them to an understanding of who He was. But it wasn't the perfection of His plan. Oh, how great it would have been to be able to see God visibly move on a situation, move on the waters and they part, to be able to see the mountain tremble. I've thought before, Lord, how wonderful it'd be to be able to come and just talk to You face to face. But do You realize there's something even better for us today? Because the Lord said, if that was the best covenant, there wouldn't be any place for something better. But I had something even better for you, to replace that covenant, to take away the old one that I would try to reveal myself. How? Through Moses, in the law that he gave to go and go tell the people, this is what my word is. To the prophets, to be able to go and say, this is what the Lord's message is for you. You know, the Lord still, through the foolishness of preaching, chooses to save those that are lost. Still through the proclaiming of the Word of God. But you know, it cannot just be us. It cannot just be me. There's something else at work now. This covenant,
This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me from the least to the greatest. Thank the Lord.
You're no longer going to have to be able to go to a man that was able to be in contact with God and say, what did the Lord say? Or what does the Lord want for me? Or would you ask the Lord on my behalf to have mercy on me? Or because I can't go directly to Him. I don't have an avenue to be. I don't understand that language myself. I'm not able to go directly into the presence of the Lord. No man except the high priest can go into the Holy of Holies and that but once a year to make atonement for sins. That provision wasn't made available unto the people. But He said, the time's coming. Oh, the time's coming that I'm going to go and I'm going to write my law into their hearts. And I'm going to bring them to a place that you don't have to go and say, well, I have contact with God and you're not able to, so let me tell you about the Lord. That's secondhand information. And yes, it is still important for us to preach and to teach as part of God's plan. But today, every one of us have equal access. That we can all come boldly to the throne of grace. That now as Jesus hung there and He said, it is finished. The perfect plan that has been in the works for centuries on end, that God has been bringing to this very moment. He said, it's finished. It's completed now. The plan is now perfected. And the veil of the temple ripped right in half. Now access into the Holy of Holies, where no man but the high priest could go but once a year, where the very presence of God was, that I now have access to press into that place, to commune with the Lord. That His presence doesn't just dwell in a temple made with hands, but now down within us, that we are the temple of God, of the Holy Ghost that dwells within us. What glory! How much better than to be able to look at a cloud over the tabernacle at a distance. But now, I can see it within. His presence and His glory. And there have been down throughout time, even since Jesus walked this earth, that men after their own organization of church have built an organization and a group, and they've tried to withhold information. They've tried to tell the people, you can't understand the Scriptures. You're not smart enough to know what the Word of God says. You can't have a Bible in your home. That happened for centuries. You can't have a Bible in your home because you're too ignorant to be able to understand what it means. And so you've got to come to us who are lifted up and elevated, and we have access to God, whereas you poor little people don't. Folks, that's not the way. Thank the Lord, that's not the way. That I can go in my own private prayer closet and I can say, Lord, I don't understand something here. Would you help me here, Lord? Lord, I don't have a PhD after my name. I don't have a DD or a doctorate of divinity. And the world would try to say, well, you can't understand the Scriptures then. Who are you to try to say, explain and expound on doctrine when you haven't been through our seminaries and been through our classes and you haven't studied the Aramaic and you haven't studied all these languages? Do you remember what the people that beheld some of the disciples noted? They took note of them that they were ignorant and unlearned men, but yet they took note that they had been with Jesus. There's something that witnessed to that. There's something. I don't have to be able to be the most intellectual or the smartest or go through so much school. The Holy Spirit can now go to every heart that is repentant, that is cleansed and turned around to God, that is able to understand this language now, that becomes a candidate for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Then now I can come unto God and that He can reveal directly to my heart, that He can give me understanding. And it's how it's possible that we find people even from other parts of the world, different cultures and nationalities and languages and backgrounds, that we come together, the Lord brings us together, and we find kindred spirits. And we find that the Lord has been teaching them the very same things that he's been teaching us. Folks, this isn't a secondhand, hand-me-down religion. Yes, we pass down to our children and we teach them, but they can get it for themselves as well. They can go to that same God and they can have communication of that same language with him for themselves. Then I don't have to say, well, this, I just do it because that's what my parents did. It's what my parents believed. I don't know any, there's something more than that. The Lord wants to reveal his glory unto each and every one of us, that every one of us from the least to the greatest can know him. But you know, sometimes if we're not careful, we want an easy way. In a get rich quick society, I don't want to work for it. I want to get rich, but I love those ones that say, sit in your recliner at home and make $90,000 a year. And I say, sign me up. I like the idea of not having to do a whole lot of work and yet reaping all the benefits of it. Folks, there's no shortcut to this. It takes effort. I've got to realize the privilege that I have. But as we said this morning, you don't use it, you're going to lose it. We can grow a distance between us and God. We can begin to forget this language. We can lose contact with God. We can settle into a place by complacency or by laziness that I get just secondhand, hand-me-down information. And I say, oh, that's good enough. Well, maybe I'll get a little something that'll encourage me on a Sunday. Folks, don't wait for Sunday. Don't wait for Sunday to come around. Yes, I pray that your soul will be fed on Sunday. But every day of the week we have access to go to him, to press into the presence of God. Have you found the devil try to oppose that in your life? Have you found the devil trying to make it difficult to get down and really pray? He knows the importance. He knows the value of being able to speak the same language, of being able to understand what the will and the mind of the Lord is. Not just to hear the sounds, but to be able to have understanding. Because when Jesus was here, and we think if only Jesus was here, some of the religious confusion that's in the world today, he'd clear it all up. There was religious confusion in the days that Jesus was here. There were many people that heard the very same teachings. Remember that the cloud of smoke and the pillar of fire we've been talking about. You know the Egyptians saw the same thing? But the Egyptians saw from the other side of the pillar. And you know what the scripture says it was unto them? It was as a great darkness unto them. To the children of Israel, it was the very sign and presence of God. But to those that didn't know this language, to those that weren't in contact with this God, on the other side of the cloud, it was darkness. I can't see through it. I don't know where I'm at. The scripture talks about, unto those of us that believe, he is precious. But unto those that reject him, he's become a stumbling block, a rock of offense, that which people stumble over. And it's the same way for us today. The very same word we can hear, and it can cause life to spring forth within us. Or I can hear it from a rebellious and a heart that doesn't desire the truth. And it can drive me further away. Those that heard Jesus, there were some that heard it and they were touched and moved and they followed him and sold all. But there were other people that said, what are you talking about? Eat your flesh and drink your blood, nothing. And they were offended and they walked away and walked no longer with him. And he said they were not just those that happened to overhear him on the street. They were disciples. Many disciples walked no longer with him. They didn't understand. They heard the same sounds, but unto them it was a savor of death rather than a savor of life. That's why Jesus urged that you have ears to hear, because hearing the sounds isn't enough. I can come Sunday after Sunday and sit in these pews and hear the sounds and it bring forth nothing in my life. Or I can press into the presence of the Lord. Lord, I want to speak that language.
Lord, there's some things I don't understand. That's okay. The Lord taught Adam and Eve this language. The Lord taught them how to communicate with Him. And the Lord will do the same with us today. Scripture we referenced in Hebrews 1 and 1, God, sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past, it says, has now in these last days spoken unto us, how? By His Son. Whenever they were on the Mount of Transfiguration and they heard a voice that says, this is My beloved Son. Hear ye Him. He's the one that you listen to. He's the one that has the words of life now. It's not a mystery any longer. It's not hidden in a book somewhere. He's got the words of life. He is the bread of life. Listen to the words that He says and they'll bring forth life in your life and in your heart. But Jesus, even when He walked the earth, let's look maybe at Luke chapter 10. Jesus realized that there were those that wouldn't accept and didn't accept the things that He had to say. Luke 10 and 21, in that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank Thee, O Lord, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in Thy sight. Lord, there's something here that those that think they have all the answers, those that are rich in spirit get nothing, but those that are poor in spirit, those that say, Lord, help me. Lord, I'm nobody in myself. That come to Him humbly, the Lord is able to reveal the mystery unto. He's able to reveal the language that the world doesn't understand. It's a foreign language to this world. Something that they aren't able to understand. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to those that perish. World War II and one on the Pacific Front, they retained the services of the Navajo Indians as code talkers. That they were able, and part of the art or the nature of warfare, they try to develop a code, and the enemy, after a while or over time, would decode it, and it no longer worked anymore. They understood the same language. But the Navajo language was a very difficult, a very obscure language that nobody was able to break the code of. So they'd have the Navajo code talkers that would talk from one location to the next, that even if the message was intercepted, it made no sense to those that intercepted it. Folks, it's what the message of the kingdom of heaven is to this world. They don't understand it. It's foreign. It's unknown to them. But unto us that believe, He is precious. So Jesus came, died on the cross, said it is finished, restored us unto God in a oneness with Him that we could have communion with Him. Scripture says in Amos 3, how can two walk together except they be agreed? You can't walk together because you're not in agreement. You're not in oneness. There's strife in your life with God. Psalm number 500 says, get in touch with God, my brother. It says, I know I love my Savior. I know that He loves me. And now we walk together because we can agree. Get in touch with God, my brother. Get in touch with God, I pray. Keep in touch with God, my brother, and walk this narrow way. Because we can agree. Because I've come to a place. What was it that Jesus told Nicodemus? When Nicodemus came and He was talking to him by night, he had heard some things that witnessed to his heart. That he realized there's truth. Lord, nobody does these things except the Father sent Him. I believe in You. Said Nicodemus, no man can see the kingdom of heaven except he be born again. You're not going to be able to see it. You're not going to understand this language except you be born again. Because it's not a natural language to the flesh. It's not a natural language to sinful man. You won't be able to make any heads or tails of it or discern the things of God. People today trying to understand doctrine and trying to write books and teach and sin in their lives and things in their lives that obscure them from being able to see and even discern and understand what the kingdom of God is. May the Lord help us to walk in agreement with God. That we can agree, that we can understand that language of God. The language that He speaks to our heart. Jesus on the road to Emmaus. Remember whenever some of the disciples were walking along and their hearts were heavy because Jesus had been crucified and it was on the day of the resurrection, but they hadn't yet seen him. They saw Jesus, but their eyes were holden that they could not behold him. They didn't realize who it was. But yet as they walked along the way, Jesus was talking to them, and they said afterwards, "Did not our hearts burn within us?" That was more than words. It was more than just casual conversation. There was something that spoke to my heart in that. Folks, it's the language of God. It's the that pure language that He speaks, that witnesses to our hearts. This is a heart language. And He spoke it to those men that were walking down the road. Oh, my heart burns. It witnesses this is the truth. This is right. It's real. I'm thankful that we can still have that today. We need that today. We live in a time of many false doctrines and many false prophets. I need to be able to go back to one and say, "Lord, what's right? Lord, what's the truth here? What's the right way?" And to be able to say, "This is the way." Walking in and not only just hearing the words of it, but the Spirit of Christ was ministering to these men in conjunction with the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit was convicting. He was working. He was dealing. He was witnessing it to their hearts. And it is the way that it's to be with preaching today. That it's not to be just the talking of my ideas and my thoughts and my opinions. But that I do it under the unction and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Lord, what is the message that you want spoken? What is it? And you're under no obligation to take the words of man. The Bereans, they went home. They received it with gladness, but they went home and searched the Scriptures daily. Lord, is it true? Is it right? The Holy Spirit will bear witness unto His Word. The Holy Spirit of truth. Jesus, as He walked on this earth, this world, He told the disciples, there are some things that you can't receive yet. There are things that you don't understand yet. So even still we see, when Jesus was walking on the earth, the plan still wasn't quite complete. He said, "Tarry in Jerusalem. When He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you in all truth." That's what the Spirit is. The Spirit that brings the language of God. It is the vehicle. We said the language is the vehicle by which thoughts and feelings, desires are conveyed. That is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the language of God that witnesses to our hearts, that ministers to me, that convicts me, that draws me, that conveys and gives me understanding of what God's will and His purpose and His desire and His ways are. People don't have a monopoly on the Holy Spirit. It's available to any and to all that'll come and believe in Him and present a clean vessel unto Him and say, "Fill me with Your Spirit. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Guide me by Your Spirit." And He'll do just that. Thank the Lord. We sing a song that says, "I know in my heart what it means." It's this heart language. It's about more than just I've heard by the hearing of the ear. But whenever I hear a testimony go out, whenever one of you have been through a battle and how the Lord's, I can say, "I know, it resonates down in here. There's something that witnesses to my heart that's right, that's true." When I hear the sweet songs of Zion floating above, I used to think everybody, if they could just hear the saints singing, they'd be convinced. And many people have recognized the sweet spirit to the singing of the saints. But you know, unless I understand this language, chances are it's just going to be noise. It's just going to be sound because this sound, the language that we speak with, yes, we sing in English. But I've been places where we've been singing in English and German and Russian, the same song at the same time. You know what's really communicated? It is the same Spirit that works through all, that conveys the Lord's purpose and His desire. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. Romans 8 and 16 says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God,
bears witness to us. It witnesses to our heart, to our spirit. That's what it gives me, something strong enough that I can stand on, that I can go in the face of a world and say, doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter, O King, if you tell me to bow down unto your idols. I'm not going to do it, because the Lord has spoken to me and the Lord has said, this is what I want you to do, and I'm standing on that. Do we have things that settled today in our lives and in our hearts?
Let's look at 2 Corinthians 3. We'll try to wrap this up. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 7 says, but if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses, for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious?
It's talking about that time under the old law when God would come and reveal himself and talk to the children of Israel through Moses and through his prophets later, that he'd come and witness of his Spirit to them. But he said there's something more. There's something more glorious. The law, the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Under the letter, it brought you to a knowledge that I'm sinful. The things that I'm doing are sinful, but I don't have the grace to be able to rise above it. I don't have the grace to be able to live a life that's otherwise than that. Too many people today are living an old law experience. Too many people today, as Scripture says a little further down, that even unto this day when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. There are people still today that are cloaked with carnality and with the flesh, and whenever the Word of God goes out, they don't get anything from it. Whenever they look into the Scriptures, they get exactly what they want to get out of it. And so we see born so much confusion. Remember, that's what Babel was, the Tower of Babel, is confusion. There's still such a plurality of languages, of words, of things that are being spoken, that people don't have access and don't have an understanding of this pure language, because he leads in one direction. He gives the same understanding to one and all. It's the basis of our fellowship and our unity together through the Spirit. So he said there's something so much better, so much more glorious, the ministration of the Spirit, to be able to convey the Lord's language. I'd like to look now at Romans first. Romans 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we ought to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. There are many that teach today that the witness of the Holy Spirit is whenever you start getting up and start saying something out of your head and you don't know what you're saying and maybe rolling on the floor and you're jabbering. There's no spiritual benefit to that. There's no edification to that. It proves nothing to be able to do something that a sinner could do, an atheist could do, to get up and just chop, 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 chop with your mouth and not say anything. The Spirit of God was not manifested for that purpose. The Lord's desire is not to conceal language. It's not to do something that's obscured where I don't know what the Spirit's saying to me. I don't know what I'm saying, but it's to give understanding of what the will of the Lord is. Not to obscure, but to make clear. Not to hide, but to make evident to us. So it's saying here, the Holy Spirit, whenever at times I may not even know the words to say, oh Lord, you know the place that I'm in. Lord, I don't even know what I need, but you know it. Your Spirit searches my spirit, and it knows the mind of God, because it's sent by God. The Holy Spirit of God sent to minister unto us. And he's able to make intercession for us, so that we're able to be connected directly to God. We're able to know what the mind of the Lord is, because the Spirit has conveyed that unto us. And he's able, it's a two-way street. He's able to communicate that back to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First
1 Corinthians 2 and 9 says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." We haven't received the world's language, but there's a different language that we've gotten, that which is of God, the Spirit that is of God, that searcheth the deep things of God, that understands, that knows, that's able to reveal to my heart the deep things of God. Man's not able to receive it. The natural man is not able to receive the things of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. Because they're hidden from you. You're not able to see. You're not able to understand it. While walking in sin, I want to just summarize and close here. While walking in sin, we walk in darkness. We walk separated from God. I'm not able to communicate with the Lord. Oh, whenever he comes and he saves us and he hears the repentant cry of the sinner to say, "Lord, have mercy on me." Oh, he restores us back into a place that we can be in agreement with God again. That I'm not at strife with him. That the Lord can talk with me. Jesus said unto his disciples that the Holy Spirit has been among you. The Holy Spirit's been working with you. He's been talking to you. He's been revealing things to you. But he said, he's been with you, but he shall be in you. That's the beauty of the second work of grace. The Holy Spirit, yes, it's what draws us to God. It's what convicts us. But there is a going on into perfection. Don't stop there. Let's not be satisfied to hear from a distance. My Lord, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I want to be able to have a clear, unhindered communication by your Spirit. That your Spirit can come and take its abode in here, in my life and in my heart, to make intercession with God. He shall be in you. So he told the disciples, go and tarry in Jerusalem. We read through the book of Acts and later of so many times that the Lord manifested himself when Stephen would go out and preach. Whenever Peter, what a man Peter was. Whenever Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and began preaching, something happened, didn't it? The Holy Spirit was able to bear witness to the words that he spoke. And we see in the gift of tongues that the Lord was able to make the words that he spoke be understood by every man in their language, and that it was a literal manifestation and miracle by the working of God, not of something that was unknown that no man knew, a jabbering somewhere that no man knows, but it was something designed to give understanding of what God's word was and what his will was. But the Holy Spirit, there's something even deeper than that. The Holy Spirit is able to bear witness to my heart. And that's what he did on the day of Pentecost. Whenever Stephen was preaching later. And it said they were cut to the heart. The sinners and the religious folks that didn't know the Lord, they didn't know this language. They heard the words. But there was a weight behind it. There was a power because the Holy Spirit was giving life unto it. It is the Holy Spirit that brings the language of God, that gives us an understanding, that brings us back into the place from which man fell. In the Garden of Eden, when man fell from God and sinned and walked away and lost that communion with God, and it took a two-step restoration to be able to bring him back, to restore him to peace with God, and to be able to fill him with his Spirit, to be able to understand that language with which at one time they so freely spoke. But there was a nature that was passed down. Not only the willful choice of sin, but there was a nature now that was passed down. Adam's children were born in his likeness. And it passed down on all men. And there is now something that the Lord, through the infilling of his Spirit, is able to conquer, to give us victory, and to give us understanding of what is the mind of the Lord. Amen.